This episode brought to you by Own the Gray podcast. Discover how others age with attitude at ownthegray.ca. The best conversations happen when we're having lunch with our friends, especially when one is a healer. Pull up a chair and join us to expand your knowledge and open your mind.
Pioneers and innovators in the realms of spiritual growth and healing, Philip Mountrose and his wife and partner Jane are holistic coaches, energy healers, and authors of many books, including Getting Through to Your Emotions with EFT, Getting Through to Your Soul, and The Ultimate Paradigm Shift. Their latest book is The Loving Power of the Soul, a guidebook for realizing your true purpose. And we have one half of the dynamic duo with us today to discuss this wonderful book, and welcome Philip.
Great being with you, Susan. I love your podcast, and the title is very dear to my heart and my journey.
This is my pleasure. I'm very excited about this conversation. Please share a bit about your background and what drew you and Jane to this path, because I know it wasn't the path you started on.
Right. And healing is a pivotal part of it. And it really is for everyone. Just some beginning words here. And thanks for having me on the podcast, by the way, Susan. I was very interested in spiritual growth. And some people get there one way or the other. They sort of get kicked and beaten into it. And some people just sort of from early on say, this is really important. Wherever you are in the journey, though, for me, at a certain point, I was in film school. I was thinking maybe I'll be a writer or director or something. I really didn't know what to do early on. And I aired a little film I made, which was absolutely awful. And it got a corresponding response. It's sort of like the dream where you see yourself running down naked in the street or something and you're embarrassed. And this set off some interesting sort of archetypal awarenesses. Now, I realize now, not then, certainly as a 20-something, I was just very embarrassed and shamed and went into sort of a depression spiral a bit after that. But I realized it really set off a couple things, that idea of physician, heal thyself. It ultimately led me into that. And Chiron, the wounded healer, those myths of healing, which are very powerful. You have to heal yourself. So going on a little bit with my story, then I started seeking sort of spiritual growth as sort of my passion. Like I need to figure out why I'm here, what I'm doing. There must be ways I can understand this. And a lot of people can relate going through sort of a spiritual seeking. Did you have a period in your life, Susan, where you were kind of in this quest for spiritual awareness?
Absolutely. Actually, I believe it started with me in my 20s with, you remember, I'm okay, you're okay.
Yes.
I think that was one of the first ones. And I think I read that several times through and it never left me. And then in my 30s, I started reading quantum healing and, you know, quantum physics and it's just grown from there.
Right. Yeah. One thing leads to the other. And with me, back at that time, which was a long time ago relative to the way things are in the 1970s and such, there wasn't so many things available. There wasn't an internet. So you had to look in traditional religions. I did Japanese tea ceremony. I went to Naropa Institute, which opened up in Boulder, Colorado, and studied Buddhism and did all kinds of things, just looking for someone who could help me and different experiences and awakening. And I eventually ended up in a Gurdjieff Ouspensky group, who's a spiritual organization. They were sages in the 1900s. This was very interesting, and I learned a lot and grew a lot. Some of it was for the positive that I still use when we do our coaching and healing with Jane Mountrose, my partner and a wife. When I say we, I am actually referring to someone besides myself, Philip Mountrose. And so we learned some great things from the Gurdjieff principles about spiritual growth and body types and centers of gravity and all kinds of incredible things that we still use and teach. However, one of the tenets, Susan, was not expressing negative emotions, which got us very actually repressed. It was something which was a kind of something that sounds good in theory, but isn't really very good in practice.
Absolutely.
And so we became very repressed, and that you know, didn't really go well with awakening. Plus, there was a guru, kind of a charismatic leader, and you submit your power to that person, and only that person can get really be awake, and sort of like the priest being the mediator between you and God. And that took us just further. I met my wife and partner, Jane, and we married and we left together. We were shunned and ostracized by what we thought were our good friends. That's part of the way these groups are, the chosen ones, until you're unchosen. Anyway, that we realized that in order to wake up, you really need to heal yourself. And this sent us really strongly on the healing journey and the hypnotherapy. NLP, we were early adopters and innovators in EFT, emotional freedom technique. We developed our own kind of brand and approach, holistic EFT. We developed another healing modality called spiritual kinesiology, a healing from the soul that we taught, write about, and help people with directly and teach them how to do it. Maybe we can talk a little more about that today. I don't know. And I was still, though, an educator, a teacher, making a living, special ed, emotionally disturbed boys, mentally handicapped, inner city children, all kinds of things. And my wife was an architect. And although that was interesting and it was something of a placeholder for me, I enjoyed it. Jane got so burnt out, she thought her soul was dying, had chronic fatigue, really just had a problem functioning after a while. It was so estranged from her, really what she wanted in her life force. And so we started learning all these modalities on the side, hypnotherapy, NLP, developing our own, having personal clients, then teaching them, offering things. And the internet came around, unfortunately, and that really was very good for us. And we were on the internet, our website, I think it started in 1997. That's why it's very big, the gettingthrough.org website, with a lot of articles and videos and downloads and trainings. And that just sort of we continue to follow our purpose and help people and try to make the world a better place. We founded, in the final part I'll mention here, we founded Awakenings Institute, our nonprofit organization. We're in Santa Maria, we're in Central Coast, California, but it's worldwide. And we actually even ordain non-denominational ministers. But the mission of Awakenings is to make the world a more healing, loving, nurtured place where everyone's gifts are honored, including respecting nature, too.
It's all a fascinating journey.
It is. Truly.
And it's still an ongoing journey, I'm sure.
Continue to reinvent yourself. If you stand still, what's that famous saying? If you stay on the track and don't move, you're going to get hit, run over by the train.
Right.
So you have to keep moving, keep evolving, or you just sort of stay stuck. And the things that were really vibrant and alive keep evolving, and we can't just keep holding on and staying where we were when we were developing at the beginning of holistic EFT. How we develop and how we use it is so much more advanced and effective and combined with other things than where we started, although it was incredible where it even began.
Well, I'm excited to get there. So let's start at the beginning. We're going to be discussing the new book. The first question then I have for you, for my listeners, because I believe that this word takes on a lot of different meanings,
right?
And the word is soul.
Right.
So yeah, let's start there.
Yeah. And we had different titles, but it's actually, we ended up with the loving power of your soul. So the way we understand it, and part of our journey was having someone teach us sort of how to connect directly with the soul. And a lot of people think that this is people usually recognize that there's something beyond our physical body, emotions, thoughts, but generally people often think that the soul is just there for some extraordinary experience, which it is, where you hear it and see it and sense it. It might be a beautiful experience, a sunset or sunrise, or tragic, intense experience. And we're very present, which is part of that deeper awareness that we're here in a body living our life. It's interesting thinking that we're having this interview, Susan, Lunch with a Healer, you and me and Philip Montrose, we're having this little experience, like it's almost like we could be watching this experience, living our life and just taking note of it and making the most of it.
Right.
So the soul can be evoked at any time. And as we write about different ways to do that, and we can maybe do a little experience here in a moment. And then you're really simply aware of yourself. And then you have more love and expansion and acceptance and insight, support, inner support and awareness. And it can be used for healing and guidance and direction. So that can happen at any time. And as you do the soul centering, it becomes more a way of life, a more a way of being. Anyways, that's a little bit of a description, if that's helpful.
It is. So your soul is an energy. It's not something tangible. It's an energy. It's almost like you come here as a soul and then you manifest a physical form, your human mm-hmm. body, to mm-hmm. live your life. You're supposed to live your life, I imagine, through your soul, and somehow that gets screwed up, convoluted, shall we say, along the way. And then we live our life trying to get back to living through our soul. At least I am. Can you give me an idea for my listeners, what does it feel like? What does it look like to connect with your soul?
Right. So people have different experience of it. It's not a one size fits all. Some people, and it can change over time too. Some people have very elaborate visions. And if you do sometimes creative visualizations too, that will be a way of sort of meeting or seeing your soul in different settings. And depending on your inner modalities, the way you function, your inner modalities, meaning we have our physical external senses. Well, we have inner senses. We can see in our mind. We can hear things in our mind. We can feel things in our mind and even taste and smell things, even different senses. So those inner senses are receptacles to connecting with the soul and getting perceptions. And some people are more sensing, like I'm just sensing. And a lot of people just sense relaxation when they do soul connecting. And that may be the simple word relax. And I know that sounds rather simplistic. There's a saying, relaxation is who you are. So from a higher perspective, when we are unified, these very simple things are quite profound, just as something like a word or a feeling of relax. And then some people get images, and they may be a combination of those. So those are ways of getting messages from the soul. And part of it is just being open to it. If you're not open to it, then your left mind will block it and censor it.
Is there a direct relationship between the heart and the soul?
Yes, it seems to be a gateway, the idea of having an open heart, which is often talked about in different traditions and just in general vernacular. You know, I my heart was into it, or my heart wasn't in it. I have an open heart. It's in my heart of heart. There's a lot of phrases. You got to have heart.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these things do work their way into our everyday language, but they're sort of obscured. And the inner meaning, they're reminders sort of, but there's something deeper going on that it's pointing to. And sometimes that heart is the seat of the soul. And when you breathe into your heart, you may notice things. And when people sometimes point to themselves, they often point to the heart, unless they have kind of cultural conditioning otherwise, like, who am I? You're pointing to your heart, and that saying about spiritual beings having a human experience.
Right.
So right now, while we're together and people are listening to this in whatever time they are, they're having an experience of this in the moment. And it's evoking awareness and presence in them. Hopefully, it can, to be more fully having this experience and using the most of it. It's sort of like we contracted to have a lease or an experience or rent something, like rent our body. In order to, you know, to make the most of it, to do certain things with it. It's not set in stone, although there seem to be suggestions on things we're here to do or experience our plan. So, hey, here it is, you know, and we're not forced to even recognize it. We have such free will, we don't even have to be aware of any of this. One lady I was working with, her issue was she felt very hurt from being in a business with a spiritual business with her best friend, who then embezzled the money from the business. And she felt very hurt, of course, and betrayed. And this was 7 years prior to when I was with her. Yet she meditated every day. And you may run, you'd say, well, you know, I'm kind of thinking, well, if meditation is so good, why are you still feeling like it happened yesterday, this very, and it's obviously a very difficult situation, or someone, you know, has grief, or someone has a really tragic incident, especially betrayal is a really big one, or mm-hmm. a big loss, and they never get over it. You know, mm-hmm. obviously it's going to affect you, but is it something you can learn and grow from, or is it something that's going to kind of kill you and kill your spirit and crush you? So after doing a short session with her and connecting with the soul, she immediately shifted her perspective, sometimes called reframing it, which is part of healing, often seeing it differently, seeing things from a different frame, a different lens. And I asked her, I said, Mary, how is it with your friend now? She goes, it's fine. I'm okay with her. She just released the hurt almost instantly and felt forgiving and felt like she was time to go on with her life. You can't force someone to forgive, by the way, as a little side tip for healing. People weren't aware that it's something that has to be done in the right time when you're ready for it.
When the heart is ready to release it, I imagine.
Right. Well said. Yeah. And then going back to the heart again. Right.
Yeah.
Well, nicely said. Thanks.
Can you give me a few examples of how you teach people to connect with their soul?
One of the ones we like is, we call it the mud to mountaintop, the apex. We write about it. That's kind of a nice thing. We could do a little journey now. Would you want to do it with yourself on something that's a little bothersome or no?
Yes. Sure. I have to pick. There's so many things. Yeah.
Let me count the ways that things bother me. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of little, and you know, little things and big things. Anything you care to mention a little bit, a moment of what it is, just briefly?
This isn't a little thing. I'm having trouble receiving. I'm having trouble being patient with receiving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And specifically, is there a specific incident you can kind of focus in where you're not patient with receiving? Is there something that is specifically coming to mind?
I'm a perfectionist.
Yes.
When I do something, I want to see results very quickly. Some of it has to do with prosperity.
Yeah.
So okay. we can leave it at that.
Okay. So the reason why I said something specific, because when we go back, the way to kind of measure things in energy healing is to look where it is now. And if you have a specific situation that's bothersome,
I can visualize something.
And you focus on the energy. And we can sometimes even measure the intensity. You can do the suds level if you want. So can you think of the specific time that you were impatient about the prosperity?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's something you were focusing on receiving something?
Yeah.
Okay. And it wasn't coming or something?
It's very slow coming. I know it's coming. I think I know it's coming. But yeah. There's something blocking it.
Oh, right.
It, for
okay.
Sure.
And the feeling is?
The feeling is, I believe, but maybe I don't believe. And then self-doubt comes in.
Okay, feeling of doubtful. So if your 10 is totally doubtful that you're going to receive and 1 is very little, what number would you give it when you focus on that incident?
I guess I'd give it a 5 at this point.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then let's do this little process. This is just a little visualization, a little soul connecting, another way of doing it. And so if you imagine, Susan, that you are... sort of in the mud with this receiving situation, this mm-hmm. doubt, you know, and you may get a sense or seeing it's like being in the mud, feeling kind of, what's that like for you when you perceive that?
Heavy, 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 heavy feeling in my chest.
So there's that heavy chest feeling, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So we're going to just kind of let that alone for a moment and imagine yourself rising up to a wonderful, lofty place. It might be like a mountaintop with a wonderful, beautiful view, panoramic view. There's panoramic vision. There's fresh air and the perfect temperature. It's very clear up there, that clear vision, that clear awareness, that sensing, okay? Mm-hmm. When you get to that wonderful, lofty perch, that mountaintop, what's that like for you, Susan?
Lighter.
So you feel light.
Much lighter. Yeah.
Okay. So that's that lightness. And from that lightness, sometimes there's kind of a message or awareness in this case about receiving. What is that lightness suggesting to you about receiving?
Well, honestly, I feel tingling and I feel a bit of an excitement within me. I don't think I'm bringing this on, I think the message is that it's coming mm-hmm. and that it's here and just allow it. Yeah, I'm sure that's what it's saying to me.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes people like to imagine a color or a symbol or something to remind them of this if any comes to mind, you can let me know. Just that comes usually pretty readily to people.
Well, the color that always comes to me is my favorite color, which is like a turquoise green.
Yes.
That always comes to me when it's a positive.
Okay, sensation. Great. So that's a healing color for you. So would you like to send that down, that turquoise green and that lightness in back to where you were when you were heavily in the mud a moment ago? You want to just send it back down?
Okay.
Down to the bottom of the mountaintop and lighten it with the turquoise green and the light energy.
Okay.
And what's that suggesting you going forward here? We did a little kind of conclusion of this mud mountaintop apex process. What, anything you're noticing or aware of now?
I just easily walked out of the mud.
Yeah.
I just stepped out of the mud and walked away.
I love that.
That's exactly what I visualized.
Okay. And you're the heroine of your own story.
I hope so.
Yes, you are. And you just did. So part of it is taking this, and sometimes the clearing, we need to kind of revisit it and remind ourselves of it and integrate it. Maybe with the mud mountaintop, go back to the mountaintop more regularly. So it becomes more a way of life integrated into your daily life.
I love that image. That's wonderful. Yeah. And I imagine people could change that to some other area that makes them feel light, like to a beach or somewhere that they have a vastness and openness.
Right.
Wonderful.
Could transpose it. You're right. And going back to that story about the lady who healed herself from the betrayal from the friend, now maybe it makes a little more sense. When these things happen, they're still amazing to me, even though we've written books on it and helped countless people. And these things happen. We have a coaching and healing program where we teach techniques to this people, a small group regularly. And these kind of things happen every week. I mean, quote, we're practicing these things, but just extraordinary healings and insights and life-changing things happen. And they happen so often. They're still, I mean, it's kind of stunning just to see it and experience it. And we're not really, quote, doing it. We're sort of setting the stage for a higher awareness and energy to come into our everyday life. So then when we say, like I said in the beginning, just relax.
Right.
Or feel lighter. I mean, you can't tell people with your left brain, you know, as a...
No, no, you can't.
It's an experience.
You talk about the meditation where you have people connect to their soul. Is it after the meditation then you recommend they jot things down?
Right. We have in the book The Loving Power of Your Soul that we have six ways to connect with your soul. I did one just with you that apex process, mud to mountaintop. It's rather simple. And afterwards you may want to write down and get into the sense of communicating maybe with your higher awareness and automatic writing, because a lot of wonderful insights can come through by doing that.
Maybe you want to just elaborate on that meditation.
Are you referring in the book, The Loving Power of Your Soul, that we have a what we call a soul centering?
It's the soul centering.
The soul centering. That's another. And that's the first one that we really learned from. We got some input from some healers of several decades ago on this idea of connecting with the soul. And that really helped change us and realize, like, wow, we could just sort of be open to this soulful energy. And it really is a way of opening your heart is the first part of it. First of all, relaxing, and then opening your heart awareness, however you perceive that or see it or sense it, and then feeling or sensing a soul connection. Again, it's not a linear, it's not a doing thing. It's there. It's always there. It's like saying, you know, what's in the other room? I don't know. Well, there's some things in the other room. You know, it's just there.
Right.
It's not anything you need to prove or do, but you open to it.
Right.
And you mentioned allowing earlier was a good word. You receive it. And the kind of things that people say, Susan, is that I felt more relaxed. I felt everything's okay. More expansive. More accepting, those kind of energies. And sometimes there's direct insights, and it's usually more of a big picture insight rather than necessarily a prediction or anything like do such and such, especially more left brain detailed things. It would be kind of go in this direction, connect with this or these kind of energies, putting out like loving energies or feeling, being more patient, and then see today, what's your next step for receiving? I'm kind of going, thinking back what we did with you a minute ago, you know, what might come today? Maybe it's this interview, maybe it's something coming afterwards that's going to be a signal, a sign, a step for you receiving.
Right. Once people are able to connect with their soul, is the next process or the ultimate goal to be able to live in the flow of life and not force anything? I believe you use the word self-actualization. Mm-hmm. So that, and maybe you can explain that, how that would ultimately impact your life going forward if you are successful at connecting with your soul.
Right, and that is a term Abraham Maslow, the famous developmental psychologist, said, and he often talked about self-transcendence. So the actualizing is living your life more from that soul perspective, doing what you love and doing what you're good at, and we call that sometimes the purpose. So when you're in that place, you can be of the most use and value and enjoyment to yourself and other people. So if I were talking about, you know, technical things that don't enjoy, you know, that I don't enjoy, or it wouldn't make much sense, you know, or maybe things I can learn, I can do them and I can explain them to you, but it doesn't really light me up. It's interesting. The things that are often the most fulfilling are the things we enjoy the most. It's almost so obvious and yet hidden, and they make us more actual, and then we can transcend our everyday life and pierce the veil, as it's sometimes said, like, what am I doing here? You know, what's my reason for doing here? Well, if I really enjoy this, if I'm good at it, why am I good at it? If you're good at, I'm good at coaching and healing and communicating, that seems to be part of my gifts. So that is the vessel. Those are gifts really from the source that you are here to develop, that you've been given as a, quote, gift to give other people. Since we are the gift that we give to other people. And that's where that soul presence comes in. And that makes other people inspired and more on purpose and more aware and more awake.
So for an example, to give our listeners on that topic, you were an educator while you were going through your spiritual journey, and you were obviously very good at it and you enjoyed it, but it wasn't your spark. It wasn't how you feel now doing what you're doing. And I can say the same as a dentist. I think I was pretty good at it. I enjoyed it, but I know that that's not my purpose.
It's certainly, I don't know the numbers, but there are a lot of people who are in that, and we were in that. So we know that from our own experience. My wife and partner, Jane Mountrose, she was very good at architect. I mean, they didn't want her to leave because she was so good. But she was burning herself out. She's the way she described it, she felt her soul was dying and she became very sick. So she actually had to leave the job. And even though I enjoyed being a school teacher and it was interesting and engaging, I mean, you have to be pretty present just to function.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's demanding. But at a certain while, it was almost like I felt like I was somewhat going through the motions. Although it was useful and fulfilling, it's kind of like it's a meal that you know, it's okay. You know, I mean, it's a good meal, but it's nothing I really enjoyed or, you know, I wouldn't want to have it again. It's okay.
Right.
I mean, it was nothing wrong with it.
Right.
You know, that's not a way to live your life. And there are stages in life where at certain kind of key points we awaken. I had that one in film school where I saw my film was a bomber, not good. Mm-hmm. And that was awakening. And at a certain point, you want to see, what am I here to do? Am I just here to make a living? Even though I can make a living, and you generally, most of us have to, it's not, as they said, making a life. And you want to start making a life for yourself. And that can be one step at a time, and one small step, like when you said the receiving, the process we did, you know, something could be one little step today or tomorrow.
The next question I have is, and this is also part of your book, is when a person comes to you and they're filled with internal resistance, lots of blocks from traumas, you have methods of releasing those blocks. And I would love you to talk a little bit about them, the EFT technique that you mentioned and the spiritual kinesiology.
Yeah, let's do the EFT. And part of the things that makes, well, EFT, some listeners I'm sure know that, is that emotional freedom technique, a tapping technique. We don't rely on scripts. Just like with hypnotherapy, they're useful for references of things you might say to heal yourself. But what we found is much more powerful and authentic and transformative is specific things to a person's situation. If we were to have done like some EFT, another alternative to like what you were doing about being doubtful, I would use find help you to get your words, or you would tell me your words, you know, even though I'm feeling doubtful about receiving prosperity, you know,
right.
Rather than me just kind of saying, tossing things at you, you know,
right.
Sally, you know, you're not sure if things will come to you in the way time you want. Now that's a good saying, but that may not at all relate to what you're doing. So we tailor it to what the person individually is feeling and saying and thinking. And once you get the blockage as a phrase, as a wording, I like to say, we like to say, even though part of me feels, let's go back to doubtful, I think was what you were using your example. And we measure it 1 to 10. What is standard said in EFT is I can love and accept myself. Some people don't like that. Basically, the second part is something affirmative. We like to use what we call our miracle reframe. Anything is possible and miracles are happening now. That's very powerful for people. Mm-hmm. When you hear that and say that, what comes to your mind, Susan? Anything is possible and miracles are happening now.
I feel excited, and it just, honestly, it takes the doubt away. I mean, I actually say that, and at least the anything is possible part frequently. And it's just, it puts you in a much more positive frame of mind.
It does. If more is possible, if you have this wide range of possibilities, then more things can happen within it. Otherwise, if it's very narrow, you could miss the boat. You could miss the opportunity, right? You know, right? Because you're so laser, so tunnel vision, so blinders on. Right. It could be just off to the side and you can't see it.
Right.
Because it's not possible, right? It's all, the only thing that's possible is this solution.
How does the EFT work?
Let me give like the 1 minute rundown, you know, for people, because probably even though millions of people around the world have done it, it started in the 1990s. Gary Craig studied with a therapist, Roger Callahan, who just by tapping a couple points, one on the head, he tapped that in the kidney. A couple points, the lady removed her fear of water, phobia, just sort of tapping a couple points and just focusing on clearing it. So that was sort of a breakthrough. And the way it works is these energy centers, and we are energy, and the energy is within our body, and Eastern medicine uses acupuncture needles. This uses your fingers where you're tapping 7 key pressure points to balance your body. And the idea is in Eastern medicine is you have either too much or too little energy. You can just, I mean, if you have too much doubt, right. Going back to, you know, that's like you're flooding your system, you're wiring your hormones, your body with doubt. And this is rewiring or resetting, tapping, and the points are the top of the head. And you tap a few times with your finger, these energy centers, then the eyebrow either sides by the bridge of the nose. And then the next point is the side of the eye where you tap lightly. And then under the eye, these are pressure points which have meridians and energy circuits next to them. Sometimes they're sensitive. And then under the nose, you're tapping a few times with your fingers. Then the chin, middle, lower chin, tapping. And then the collarbone, the ridge, your collarbone, there's a ridge there underneath it. You're tapping. Yeah. And then under the arm, kind of 5 inches with both your arms. If you do both arms, it's like you're embracing yourself and tapping and breathing. And we add a little reset process at the end of it where you tap across the top of your head with your whole hand so you get your left and right brain, and then tap across your heart again and then breathe also. And you can say as you tap across your head, anything is possible. People may want to do that if they can do it safely, and breathe and tap across their heart and miracles are happening now. So you can tap on those seven energy centers and then the reset process in the head and the heart, and you can use some affirmations based on whatever the issue at hand is. So that's sort of the holistic EFT in just a really brief nutshell. And we help people individually in personal sessions with it. We have trainings on it. There's a lot of different ways to learn it. And the basic tapping is very simple.
Right.
But when you have something which is bothersome, even if you are somewhat good at healing, you still want to get help at some of these deeper issues. And it's going to save you a lot of time and energy and set you free on a lot of levels and connect you more soulfully with your life and purpose.
And what about spiritual kinesiology? How does that work?
Okay. And we've sort of set up, we've somewhat answered part of that already, which is good. It'll help listeners probably integrate that. The kinesiology is muscle testing. And that's actually sort of an optional part. And a simple way to understand muscle testing is your body responding positively or negatively to anything. And it's kind of subjective because one person could respond to a food or a thought positively and another person could respond to the same one negatively, you know. And one way is just by standing. It's called body testing, where you go forward or back slightly.
I've heard about
that. If you say focus on my mother, you might go back or forward. You know, focus on my sister, back or forward. Focus on my job, go back or forward. So that's a kind of muscle testing. There are many different ways to do it. We describe some in the book just for people interested. But that's kind of optional, but it is a good tool.
You developed your own kind of take on both of these.
Yes, I just want to complete though the spiritual kinesiology, just to finish the what it is, because that's the smaller part of it. Even though kinesiology, the bigger part is the connecting, like going to the mountaintop, like you did, and bringing that energy into the issue, or opening your heart. So doing that, and so you reframe, like here's my issue, my doubt, my fear. It could even be physical things. We've had extraordinary physical healings where people have healed major illnesses and major pain. There was a lady. Just to give you an example, she had her right leg was swollen. It's been that way about for 4 years or so when I was with her. So this is a long-term chronic thing. And it was uncomfortable, about 4 or 5 out of 10, she said. We did the process and we got kind of the different levels of different parts of it. And she connected with the soul and she felt very, I think she used the word light too. She felt lighter too. And she started to see her situation differently and she relaxed and eased. And then after the session, she didn't have any swelling. I mean, this was kind of shocking to me. You know, I didn't think it would be that dramatic because sometimes on physical things, you get insights about the psychology and what's causing it, but it may or may not, because it's dense, immediately change or change small.
Right.
And after that, she had some insights about her diet and her lifestyle and like getting enough water and not having too much salt and stuff to keep the swelling down. And she, 4 months later, when I just talked with her recently, she was fine and her leg was fine.
It's pretty incredible. That mm-hmm. must be so rewarding for you to see these things happen.
Right. Yeah, we helped someone, we wrote about it in the book with what turned out to be COVID. She was very severely ill with COVID, kind of deathly ill. At the time, she had a severe case of coughing and her life force was very diminished. And she returned afterwards, right after that, to normal functioning.
I would like to ask one last thing. After people connect with their soul, do you expand that process in terms of them trying to create certain things in their life, intention to manifestation?
So when we talk and write and teach about manifestation, we're doing it more from a soul perspective, and it can be physical things. I'm not dismissing that. I mean, that's part of living on earth and having wonderful physical things and enjoying them. That's great too. But doing it and seeing how it kind of fits into the bigger picture and what it really means to them.
Right.
You know, what does that physical thing mean to me? You know, what's this going to do for me and how will I experience it? So just kind of getting clear on what it means for you and opening your heart and taking practical steps and clearing the blocks in the way like we've been doing.
Do you find when you connect with your soul, you have more self-compassion, you're less judgmental?
That's a good word, judgmental, because I used to be very judgmental growing up as a defense mechanism about just the world, even in element, in junior high school, and groups and cliques and things, and reacting,
right?
And very sarcastic. And right. I had to, and I still have an element, and part of that is genetics, kind of how you're wired, but part of it is just conditioning and ways of kind of copping out, of just taking the easy way out and just, you know, throwing everything out and saying it's all terrible, you know,
right.
And the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Look around; it truly is right at this.
We're at a pivotal point, and the things we're talking about, and the wonderful questions. Thank you, Susan, for those. Is not only important for each person listening, but is, I think, really important for the world at this perhaps existential moment in pivotal time.
Absolutely. I mean, if ever we're in an existential crisis, I guess it's now.
All hands on deck.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone at the table, create your own table if you don't have a table, if you haven't been
Absolutely.
Invited.
And everybody buy this book, The Loving Power of Your Soul, immediately. Where can my audience find you, Philip, find you and Jane?
Our big website with a lot of articles and free downloads and information and videos is getting through getting thru.org. But there's a couple gifts or a couple things I also want to let the audience know, if it's okay.
Absolutely.
There's a gift here for people who are into influencers, spiritual healing, coaching, spiritual counseling. It's a spiritual resource kit that we just created, and it's called there's a tiny abbreviated URL that's easy to remember. So you go to tinyurl.com/spiritual-kit, tinyurl.com/spiritual-kit for that free gift of the download of the resources. It has a holistic EFT video. It has an excerpt from our new book. It has a lot of things I think people will really enjoy in that free gift. And finally, we are actually taking some new clients on. If people might want to work with us and talk with us to see if this is a good fit, go to another tiny URL, tinyurl.com/heal-awake, tinyurl.com/heal-awake. And they can connect with us and see if they'd like us to help them in some way, if we can direct them to a personal help or a training we have or some resource.
Fabulous. And also the Awakenings Institute.
Yes, awakeningsinstitute.org, or actually the key website for Awakenings Institute is getting thru.org/awakenings, with an S, awakenings, getting thru.org/awakenings for our nonprofit organization, Awakenings Institute.
All of this will be in the show notes. I want to thank you. This was terrific.
Well, thank you for the gracious interview.
My pleasure. And thank you for the Mud to Mountaintop. That I'm sure that has helped.
Enjoy the mountaintop. Keep feeling light.
Believe me, I will. Thank you so much, Philip.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and share it with your friends. And join us next time for Lunch with a Healer. Your thoughts with us. Your comments, questions, and suggestions are all welcome. Go to speakpipe.com/lunchwithahealer and record your message. Try it out today.